ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
This is Quick Smart, and you're listening to our summer season. We'll return with fresh episodes soon, but in the meantime, please enjoy our special curation of our favourite Quick Smart episodes. Why do some people save every dollar, while others blow through their paycheck the moment it lands? Turns out it might have less to do with discipline and more to do with the way you were raised. I'm Siobhan Marin. This is Quick Smart, the show that feeds you big ideas in bite-sized pieces. How do our parents' spending habits infiltrate our own? And in an era of $8 coffees, is financial freedom even possible anymore? Someone who's been crunching the numbers is ABC Money reporter Emily Stewart. Hey, Emily.
Hello.
Now, some people listening might recognise your voice, your sensible Emily from the Pineapple Project podcast, and you have a new book, aptly titled Sensible Money, in which you write that no one is born good with money.
That's right.
Okay, so where do we learn it from then?
So there's lots of different areas where we learn sort of skills around managing money, but one of the most fascinating areas of study is called family financial socialisation. And that theory has only been around sort of about 15 years. And essentially, it's looking into what you learn growing up and how that contributes to how you behave around money, your attitudes around money, your success around money as an adult.
So you're telling me we can blame our parents now, not just for family trauma and lack of generational wealth, but for our spending habits?
Well, we can, I guess, look at our own behaviour and look back at why we might be behaving in that way. And this sort of research around family financial socialisation, it looks at the way we learn about money sort of through three ways. It's parental modelling, so obviously watching our parents and what they do with money. It's about if your parents have spoken to you around money issues, and about your own practical sort of learning, like whether you got pocket money or chores or financial tasks. And all of that impacts, you know, our income as an adult, our savings, our credit reports, and essentially our financial well-being. But I think that you can't just blame our parents for our financial woes. Like, there are other reasons too as to why we behave a certain way. And some of those are what's happening in the world. So I speak about my granny in the book and how she grew up during the Depression. And so she became very concerned about being frugal and saving everything. And she used to save little bits of string into a ball and save all these little bread tops to use them as counters. Those values around frugality were really passed down to my mum. And then even still to me, like, I sort of feel like that's really shaped our family. And then we've seen during COVID, that was for a lot of young people their first experience of financial woes. And that's really shaped how confident they are around managing money. And then, of course, there's other ways that we learn around money. It's, you know, learning through school. Part of it's just your own personality and what you favour doing, whether your attention to detail. And then there's things like neurodiversity impacts too. It's really good to think about your current habits and attitudes and behaviours around money, and then understand about your own personal circumstances, about why you behave like this. And then that gives you the opportunity to potentially look into changing those habits or behaviours if you want to.
How does one go about rewriting our money story?
Well, I think the first thing is acknowledging it and sort of recognising where these behaviours come from, and then and understanding it and giving yourself sort of a bit of empathy and understanding that you're not necessarily bad with money. It's just that perhaps you were never taught, or what you saw your parents doing growing up wasn't an ideal way to treat your money. And then I think an important thing to do is a financial health check, which is essentially working out where your money is going and whether or not that aligns with your values. And so something as simple as a money diary and getting an idea of whether or not you're spending more than you earn or whether you're earning more than you spend, and then have an opportunity to save. And then another great thing to do is have a goal around your money. So actually sitting down and thinking about whether it's a short-term goal or a longer-term goal, and then seeing whether or not your current habits and perhaps your budgeting is aligning with that goal. And that can be really a motivating way to sort of change some of your habits.
Some people might feel a sense of guilt or fear when it comes to spending money, you know, whether that's getting food delivered to your house or having all of these different subscriptions. Where does the guilt come from?
Well, I think we've heard a lot from other generations and in the media about criticizing younger people who can't get into the housing market, for instance, you know, because they're spending on coffees and avocado on toast, you know. And I think a lot of that guilt comes from that external pressure. But it's not because of those small things that we can't get into the housing market. You know, housing is more expensive than ever. Our wages haven't been keeping up. You know, there's lots of huge economic factors that come into play about why younger people can't get into the housing market. I think it's more important to focus on, are those things bringing you joy? Do they align with your goals? Do they fit into your budget? And are you being mindful about your spending? So if you really enjoy, your special treat is going down and having a coffee every day, it brings you often more than it costs you for the cup of coffee. You know, it might be a social thing. It might be a break. It might be a mental health thing.
It's the highlight of my day.
Exactly. And so I don't think you should feel guilty about that sort of spending. What you should focus on instead is where it really matters. And that's why I think if people ring around about their bills every 6 months or year, and really focus on what can save you hundreds of dollars. So it might be getting a better deal on your mortgage if you do have one. It might be changing your electricity provider and saving hundreds. And those sort of small tasks, like a phone call that probably takes about 20 minutes, can end up saving you hundreds. And I've found that personally, you know, once I've shopped around for my bills, I've managed to save hundreds. And that's having a much bigger impact than cutting out my one joy of the day, which is having the coffee. So I think there's a way to balance. And also, I think if you cut out all the joys in life, you're not going to stick to your budget anyway. I think it can be different if you're really, really struggling and you really have to cut back severely on everything just to make ends meet. But otherwise, I think there is still a way to make small purchases that bring you joy while still saving for the long-term things like a house.
The Australian dream used to be that we would all own our own home. That doesn't feel very achievable for a lot of people these days. Is it anymore, or do we just need to like find a new aspiration?
Yes, I think it's difficult, isn't it? We are seeing people struggling so much, and this cost of living crisis has gone on for years now, and we've had many difficult things in the economy. We've had the impacts of COVID. We've had insecure work. We've had wages not keeping up with inflation, and we've had higher inflation. So prices, everything seems more expensive. So it's very difficult to think about whether we can achieve those sort of dreams like the quarter, well, certainly not the quarter acre block because they don't really exist anymore, but home ownership and financial stability. And I hope that things might change and that younger people can feel more positive about the future. I think some people have achieved it by thinking out of the box, by moving further away, by trying to use flexible work to enable them to live in a regional area, which of course has meant regional prices have gone up for some people who already live in those towns. So it's a very difficult question. And I think maybe we have to shift what financial freedom means to us. Some young people I speak to think, well, I'm not going to be able to afford a home, so I'm going to take whatever savings I can gather and invest them elsewhere. So for some of my friends, they're looking at being lifelong renters, but having investment portfolios, so perhaps in shares or in other ways of doing things. Mindsets are shifting, but I think it'll be interesting as we progress. You know, we're seeing a lot of wealth being held amongst different demographics. So, you know, we often have heard that the baby boomers have a lot of property and so forth. So what's going to change when property starts either being sold or handed down to other people? Are there going to be the haves and the have-nots? We're going to have to see what changes in terms of, you know, perhaps government policies to make housing more affordable.
Mm. In Australia, we have a tendency not to talk about the big issues, religion, politics, money. How is this cultural silence affecting us all?
Well, we're just not sharing. We're not learning. And that's what I found. I think growing up, I didn't speak about money with friends. And I feel like the more we chat to each other about tips and tricks and how we're doing things, the more we all learn from each other, because everyone's got something different that they do and that we can try doing, whether it's, you know, how they save money on groceries, looking at unit pricing, using apps. Everyone lives their lives slightly differently, and there's always something we can learn from a friend. And so if you're just chatting about, oh, I rang up my insurer and I asked for a special discount and they knocked $50 off, you should try it too. It's just a way we can all save money and do better with the money that we have, getting the most out of it and making sure what we do spend is aligning with our values and our goals.
Well, you've left us with a lot to think about. Thank you so much for coming on the program, Sensible Emily.
Thank you for having me. And of course, it's all just general information we're talking about today. If you do need personal financial advice, do see a professional or get on to the National Debt Helpline.
QuickSmart was recorded on the lands of the Gadigal people. If this chat brought up memories of pocket money or reminders that you don't want to check your bank balance right now, send it to a mate who might relate. And check out our episode on how to survive the cost of living crisis. We'll put a link to that, plus Emily's ABC reporting and her new book, Sensible Money, in our show notes. Thanks to producers Jesse Kay and Rebecca Metcalf. If you've got thoughts, opinions, or confessions about your own money story, email us at quick.smart@abc.net.au.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.